Hey, well, welcome to this morning, guys. For summer, for January, we usually like to dig into something around thinking about our year. We like to think about things like our intentions is one thing we've looked at in January. We like to think about our decisions. But with Formatio coming up and with that moment of digging into our intentions at that moment, we thought, what if we spent this little bit of summer just while people are still coming back, while people are still making their way back to Auckland, back to work, back to the normal things of life? It's kind of weird, eh? How do you guys have that bunch of friends who now they've just left? Like they have kind of now left for holiday and it's like, how did you make that work? So there's those people who aren't here today and they're going to be back in a couple of weeks. There's Festival One next weekend, which I know quite a few of you will probably be at. So what do we do in this period while we're just thinking about our year and while we're just gathering again, getting ready for the year? And we felt one of the things as I was praying, as I was getting ready for this year, one of the things I felt like we were to talk about in this moment together is to clearly talk about community. Let's talk about community. And the thing about community is it's a buzzword, isn't it? Like buzzword alert. It's a bit like, have you guys had one of those strategy team meetings about synergy? That was four buzzwords in amongst that, you know? Or like when you're watching the All Blacks after they've just played the game and the captain's like, we executed the plan. The plan was executed. We just executed the plan. We came up with a plan and we executed it. It's like, geez, guys, talk about something else other than just those two words. You know, like there's these buzzwords, these words that people have got. And in the church, there's been all kinds of buzzwords that I have grown up with. I remember when I was younger, the buzzword at the time was anointing. Some of you are like nodding at me, like, I know what you mean. Like everything was anointing this, anointing that. He has the anointing. She does not have the anointing, you know. With a voice like that, she does not have an anointing. You know, like it was like anointing this, it's anointed here. That place is anointed. This place isn't anointed. It was like this buzz and no one could really pin what they were talking about with that. I remember even in my 20s, the kind of new buzzword that popped up was the word missional. Everyone was talking about missional things. Missional churches, missional groups, missional, like everything was mission. And I think for the last little while, the buzzword that I've noticed in the church, the buzzword that I've noticed in our tendency to even use it here is the word community. Community has become one of those words. We need to talk about community today because it is a buzzword. And today we're going to look past what that is and actually talk about together what this looks like biblically and in the way of Jesus. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to do that together. So, if we were to look at what community is, we need to do a simple task. We need to think about what actually is it, which also requires us to say, what actually isn't it? So let's look at both sides. Let's look at what this actually is, but let's also look at what it isn't. Let's look at where we've been kidding ourselves or having way too high expectations or lying about this to each other. Let's look about where we have not got this right. And which synonyms would we replace that word with? I'm the kind of guy who really loves to think about a word and then replace it with something because the quest of finding other words for the words that we use all the time actually helps us to create an imagination for how we then live into that. So if we use a different word, it actually helps to form a different type of picture in us so that we have another thing that we can aim for. A real quick example that those of you who have been around for will know, we don't call this a service, we call this a gathering. Because to me, the word gathering is creating a different imagination for what we're trying to do today when we gather, compared to a service, which implies we put this all on for the punters, right? That's how it can feel. That word creates that kind of imagination for me. So we're creating instead a gathering. Together we are gathering as the body of Christ today. That word changes everything for me. So I wonder if we were to change the word community here, if we were to try and say something else, what word could we use instead? What word could we replace community with? That's where we're going today. So if we look up community and just want a definition, simply it is this: a group of people unified in place and purpose. That's simply what the word community means, definition. It's a group of people unified in a certain place with a certain purpose. It's both of those things together. And so you will be right now in all kinds of communities. You'll be in all kinds of community Facebook groups, probably. You'll be in all kinds of situations where there is community being used to describe those two things. I'm in a certain place with a group of people and we're trying to achieve a certain purpose. Community is what happens when we do those things. And so, as a church, we have this saying here, pursuing Jesus and playing our part. That's what it's all about for us here. We believe that pursuing Jesus is the central focus of all that we want to do. He is the reason for our gathering, the reason for our existence, the reason for our being. And we believe that as a result of who he is and what he calls us to, we are to play our part. I want to focus on that fifth word there, our. We could have put your. We could have fed into that wonderful thing that we love to consume today, which is this thing that aimed at us. We could have put your. I could have made you feel better when we wrote that mission statement. But instead, we intentionally chose not the word your, but the word our. Because the word our is actually, as that definition said before, it is our unifying word which unifies us as place and purpose. It's the word that says this does not exist for one person, this exists for all of us together. If we are not in this together, then we are not succeeding. If we are not a body, a family, a whānau, a group who are gathered and unified in the place of Auckland City and the purpose of seeing all things made new in the name of Jesus, we're missing the point. We haven't got it yet. We've still got work to do. And that's why we chose the word our. The word our brings us together and it unifies us. And it's the most intentional word that we chose because it is incredibly intentional work to build community. There's a lie that sort of says, well, community just happens. We just stumble our way into it. And that might be the case with some things. But, you know, most healthy and vibrant communities are not just the stumbling. They are intentional. Rowan Williams, who is the former Archbishop of the Anglican Church in England, he said, communities, in spite of the sentimental way we sometimes think of them, don't just happen. They need nurture. They need to be woven into unity. They don't just happen. They require nurture. They require being woven. So let's think about Rowan Williams's analogy here. Let's think of a ball of yarn or a ball of string or a ball of wool. There's some things that that ball of wool can be used for. Ball of wool is really hard to say. It's quite tricky. There's some things that this ball of wool can be used for. We can tie some stuff up. We could go down to the street. We could tie one end of the string to a lamppost and we could walk across the street and we could tie it to another lamppost about this high and we could wait for lime scooters to come past. No, we shouldn't do that. There's some things you can do. You can tie things up. You can make things nice. You can hang things with a piece of string, can't you? It's practical. It does some things. It's useful. But when a person takes some wool and a couple of crochet hooks or a couple of knitting needles and they work with structure and organization and pattern, they can form that ball of string, that ball of wool, not just into something that does a couple of uses, they can make it into something that's three-dimensional, something that's got texture, something that can wrap around, something that can be held, something that can be put over, and they can take it. Man, when we had Jimmy, our little boy, last year, one of the ladies here in our church gave us this blanket that she had knitted, and it was the thing that we used for like 3 months. It was just this companion in our lives, this beautiful blanket that she had knitted us. It was the blanket that we first put him in hospital. It was the blanket that we brought him home in. It was the blanket that we put on him in bed. It was the blanket that we put under him when he was on the floor. It was just this blanket that went everywhere with Jimmy for the first 2 or 3 months of his life. And I look at that blanket and I just think, I'm so grateful that that lady knows how to take wool and make it into that. That was so useful, so helpful, and so beautiful. I'm so grateful for it. See, this is what happens when instead of being individualistic and looking at just the one thing that we can do, we start to apply it into this idea of being together, woven together into one thing that is even more powerful than if it was just by ourselves. Ephesians says this, "You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who rules over all, works through all and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. If you were reading this not in the Message translation, but maybe a more traditional translation, you might recognize that Ephesians 4 is talking about the body having many parts. The idea, the metaphor being that there's something that's unified, but there's also this diversity of parts that make up the whole. And so Ephesians 4 goes on to say this, the next line is, but that doesn't mean that you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given their own gift. They're given their own gift. And so today, a beautiful truth to think about with community is that we're not talking about uniformity, okay? We're not talking about everyone has to become exactly the same as the person next to them, and then we suddenly have a healthy community if everyone looks like Dan, or if everyone looks like name another person. We have to realize that community actually acknowledges the individual, that community acknowledges the fact that there's diversity to be found here. And so to have true community, there must be parts, there must be individuals, and we can celebrate that today. So what about these parts though? What about what makes up community? How can we think about that? Well, I want to pull out one of my heroes in a book that not many of you probably would have heard of. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he's talking basically it's a theological anthropology written in the late 30s called Sanctum Communio. And he wrote about what it was to have Christian community, a theology of Christian community. And this is what he says, every concept of community is essentially related to a concept of person. It is impossible to say what constitutes community without asking what constitutes a person. The concepts of person, community, and God are inseparably interrelated. He goes on to say one of these things as he's starting to list that. He says, the Christian concept of the person is really exhibited only in sociality. A little asterisk there, and it says, sociality is the state or quality of being social, of companionship with one's fellows, of association together. Suddenly all the introverts are like, I don't like the sound of that. I don't want to do that. I'm introverted. Bonhoeffer can go to hell. Maybe if I put it this way to you, there's another great thinker called Desmond Tutu, and he talks about this African word called Ubuntu. And he says this, Ubuntu, this African word, it means that a person is a person through other persons. So sociality is not showing up to social occasions. Sociality is this communal life with others where we actually become more human as a result of our interactions together. Let me start to help you see this. So I'm Dan and I'm a pastor because I have a church. No church, no other persons, I'm not a pastor. I'm Dan, I'm a husband because I have my wife Gab. She's lucky to have me. Gab has me, she's the lucky one. I have her, and we can be husband and wife, because we have each other. No Gab, no husband. I'm now a father. No Jimmy, no father. See, this engagement with other persons at all these different levels is what gives us the ability to even be those things themselves. We become more human by our lives with other humans. So when you're thinking of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's thing a few minutes ago about persons and sociality, that's what he's talking about. He's not just talking about showing up to social engagements that we're on a Facebook event or whatever. It's actually talking about this thing of life with other people makes us more the person we're always meant to be. And then he goes on to say this, there are two modes of community. There's the being with one another and the being for one another. And he goes to town and he says, and if you are in Christ's body, it's both. It's both. It's not just showing up to something, and it's not just saying that you're for somebody. It's both together. It's the both and. It is the crowd. It is the showing up to the gathering, to the participation in a community of some kind, of a group. But it is also the advocation with one another, the love with one another, the petition with one another, the intercession with one another, the caring for one another. It's both and. And he says, if you want to say you're in Christian community, if you want to say that that's what you are in, it requires both of those things of you. It requires you to show up, but it also requires you to show it to be with and present with those you're showing up with. This is not just a crowd. This is not just a gathering that's a crowd and we can take what we want and go home. This is about finding a life together in this kind of way. Which brings me to the next book that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote later. It's a lot smaller, it's a lot easier to understand, and it's simply called this, Life Together. If he could hang all of those ideas onto two words put together, that's what he would say. What is Christian community? Life together. You know, if you want to read a great book, this is not very big, and it's a very deep and wonderful read, and you could give that one a go. If you are in a community group, a circle of some kind, and you've got nothing to do together, this would be a wonderful book to get together and read this year as you start the year. What does it actually mean for me to live my life, in, as he was just saying, with people and for people? How do I do that? This book's got a lot of great answers. And I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he's a hero of mine. And I think he's amazing. But I think that those two words is one word too many. And I think we can say what he's trying to say in one word. And so if I was to redefine community today and say what word I would like to use instead, if I was going to throw out the word community and put another word in its place, it would be the word togetherness. Togetherness. The state of being found to be together in unity and care and participation with one another. I think that word for me is the word that I want to build my life around when I think about what it is to be in life with the rest of the body of Christ. I want to be found to be a person of togetherness. There's a couple of great things in the scriptures about this. We're starting to land. Psalm 133. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head and that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Now, if you know your Psalms well, you'll know that Psalms 133 is near the end, and it's in the area of the Psalms called the Psalms of Pilgrimage. Now, the Psalms of Pilgrimage was the Psalms that the people of God would recite as they're heading towards the temple, towards Jerusalem. And as they're heading there, they would have these Psalms that they would use as they're getting closer and closer and closer, these songs that they would sing on the roads together. Now, I want you to imagine just for a moment the entire nation starting to descend into one point from all of the things that they do. From all of the lives that they have, from all the trades that they work, all the farms that they are on, from all of the things that they have done all year to keep their hands busy and to contribute to their survival. Imagine all of those different people coming together. Like, think of it like Auckland City. Imagine all the people coming from the suburbs and starting to walk along the northern and southern motorway. This is what it's like as these people are pilgrimaging to Jerusalem. And they are singing and using this psalm. How wonderful it is when we come together in unity. How wonderful it is when we come from all these places and we start to find this place together that we are found together in, the people of God being with God. What an amazing thing. And let's get rid of the middle stuff because it's just poetry basically. And let's just use the front and the end, which is a typical psalm. It's a typical psalm technique. Front and end tells you what the psalm's about. The middle fleshes it out and gives you some color. All right. So here's the main stuff of the psalm. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony to the end. There, the Lord has pronounced his blessing. There, God says, I'm in on this. There, God says, I like that. There, God's Spirit can move wonderfully and easily. There, heaven can touch earth so much quicker and easier. This psalm tells us something really beautiful. When we prioritize being together in unity, God is in the midst of that action. In the book of Acts, the story of the early church, you'll find these phrases: they were together. All the believers were united in heart and mind. They were in one accord. They shared all the things that they had. They were living out the same sort of idea as Psalm 133. And it's interesting because for each of those things that it says, there's also then the moment that happened afterwards, the blessing that came. They were together and the Holy Spirit came. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and so many miracles occurred. They shared all that they had, and so no one was in need. It's this amazing thing that when we get the togetherness and the unity right, God's Spirit does the things that it wants to do, and it brings the fruit that we desire to see. Togetherness is a space that is blessed by God. And we must realize it is sacred. Togetherness is sacred. It is holy. It is good. And that is why when we go to the life of Jesus and we read the longest psalm he said, the longest prayer he says this: I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray, this is Jesus. Jesus is praying that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. He's speaking to the Father here. There's some Trinitarian stuff coming through. Jesus is speaking of his heavenly Father. He's speaking of the fact that they are in unity together. They have togetherness. And he's saying, just as that togetherness exists in love, may they also be found to be unified. Where are we? And you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. We answer this prayer by seeking to live in sacred togetherness. You know, I was talking about this with our team on Wednesday as we're starting to prep for this weekend. And I was telling them about like the thing on my heart, about this thing about Psalm 133 and unity and togetherness and all this sort of stuff. And Strawn, who's not here this morning, unfortunately, but Strawn said, you know, that prayer in John 17, that thing I always think about, is either we answer that prayer by living it, or we just deny Jesus. He sort of said it in that way that only Strawn can say. Like, oh, I think you're right. I think you're right, Strawn. We have a choice to answer that prayer with our lives. Yes, 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 yes. By the power of the Spirit, we will do it. I'm not saying that it's our efforts that will get us through, but it's our intention to live that kind of way that will make the right space for the sacred things to happen in our lives. Something important will come from choosing to be the people of sacred togetherness, the blessed togetherness. And so today, to start us off, and we're going to talk a little bit more in the next week or two, the next 2 weeks, about how we actually can do this together. So there's going to be a little bit more. But today, to start us off, let us start by following in the footsteps of Jesus and by beginning to pray about this together. One more thing from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says this: a Christian community either lives by the intercessory prayers of its members for one another, or the community will be destroyed. I can no longer condemn or hate other Christians for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble they cause me. In intercessory prayer, the face that may have been strange and intolerable to me is transformed into the face of one for whom Christ died, the face of a pardoned sinner. That is a blessed discovery for the Christian who is beginning to offer intercessory prayer for others. How can we start to live this sacred and together life? We must become people of intercessory prayer. What is intercessory? If you've heard that word again, what does that mean? Intercessory means to stand in the gap. Intercessory means if there is a gap between, you are choosing to put yourself in the middle like a bridge. You're choosing to place yourself in between God and that person, you and that person, the fault and that person. And you're saying, I'm choosing to, on behalf of who is in me, Christ, I'm choosing to be the person who's going to cry out for forgiveness or for healing or for care or for faith. I'm going to do that in between because they can't do it for themselves. I'm going to choose to be that type of person. And so how can we find ourselves in a sacred, flourishing, together community? We have to become people of intercessory prayer. We have to become people who own the fact that when we say to someone, I'll pray for you, we actually do. We actually put it in our calendar, and I'm not doubting some of you. I know some of you are really faithful prayers, but I know that there's an easy thing in me to say, I'll pray for you, because it's the thing we always say, and then I don't. What if the one thing that could mark us this year is we became a community greatly empowered and emboldened in this thing of owning our prayer lives with each other? What a stunning thing that could be in front of us if we could rise to that occasion, that bold and courageous decision to pray for and with one another. And so I'd like to help you. In Eugene Peterson's book on the Psalms, for the Psalm 133, the psalm we just looked at today, he wrote this prayer. And I would like to invite you to pray it with me. I'm just going to let you read it first. I'll read it out, just so you know what you're in for. Just so you can prep your heart and know what you're about to say. But this is Eugene Peterson's beautiful words in reflection of Psalm 133. Father, break down every barrier that my sin builds between me and others. Barriers of envy, of pride, of inadequacy, of scorn. Then let me see and feel the pleasures of sharing the inner delights of forgiveness and grace with the others whom you are gathering into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. And so if you would, please pray with me. Father, break down every barrier that my sin builds between me and others. Barriers of envy, of pride, of inadequacy, of scorn. Then let me see and feel the pleasures of sharing the inner delights of forgiveness and grace with the others whom you are gathering into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. You might like to just take a photo of that on your phone and repeat that prayer for a while. You might like to just record that for a second and think, I'm going to own those words. I'm going to pray those things until they're in me and until I'm living an answer to that. And if you want the book that comes out of, it's just a little book by Eugene Peterson called Praying the Psalms. Pray the whole Psalms in 1 year. It's beautiful. You might just buy that. Okay. My point today. We need to be people of the togetherness prayer from Jesus. Jesus said, would they be one as you and I are one? So we together pray the prayer, make us one as God, you are one. Father, Spirit, and Son, a relationship of dynamic love, would we be those people of love too? That is what it is to be in sacred togetherness. Now, next week, it's Festival 1, and a bunch of you might not be here. But next week, we're going to do something fun and creative around answering some of the ways in which we want to see these things lived out together. So please come back next week. It'll be great to see you. But before we go, for these last 5 minutes of being together, I wonder if we could just do something brave and courageous. And introverts, please, 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 please don't kill me. But I wonder if we could just practice togetherness for a moment and we could just gather with some people next to us and for a few minutes we could echo the prayer of Jesus, maybe use our own words as well. Echo words that would say, Jesus, make us one this year as you are one. Could we do that? Could we turn to each other and could we just take a few minutes to just see where that might take us as we pray together? Just in twos, threes, it doesn't have to be big groups, just the friend you've come with this morning, maybe your husband or your wife, your friend, your partner, whatever. Just gather and just start to commit these things to Jesus in a way that says, we want to be like this. We want to be like this now. So God bless you. Have a great morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. It's now nearly lunchtime. Have a great Sunday. Let's land with prayer. Let's land with praying together. Have a great week and we'll see you again next Sunday. All right, but let's pray. God bless.